God bless you, and I get to teach on the Christian wife. Of course, I want to thank Tom for allowing me that privilege to do so. He couldn't really ask anybody else, or he'd be in trouble at home. Not really. please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. In order to understand what marriage is, we have to go to the Word of God and let it teach us. The world has plenty of material regarding marriage, regarding husbands and wives, but we need to go to the Word of God to see what God says about marriage, because He's the one who set it up. In Psalm 119, in verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is to be a lamp and a light for us. And when it comes to our marriages, it's supposed to be that as well. God's word sets things up so that we can be blessed. And we need to go to God's word and trust that He knows what He's talking about, that He has our best interest in mind when it comes to our marriages and our families. Because some of the information in God's word is very contrary to what the world says as to how we are to conduct our lives. That's not really a surprise, though, is it? And so we need to, when I look at Christian marriage and being a Christian wife and living our lives according to the Word, raising our children up according to the Word, it's going to contradict what the senses would have you do many times. But it really comes down to a question of trusting God that He is that loving, that He is that caring, that He knows what He's talking about. And then I can trust Him in this area as well. He's proven Himself to be a pretty good God so far, right? He's been pretty faithful, pretty trustworthy in other areas of my life, you know. Men and women will trust them with their lives, but when it comes to marriages and raising children, many times they take off on another tangent. We can trust God's word. We can trust that His word will help us in that area as well. Turn to Proverbs, please, chapter 3. As a born-again one, we want His ways to become our ways, and that includes our marriages and our families. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." That includes our marriages and our families. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." We are to trust God in all of our ways. We're to trust Him with our whole hearts. That includes, like I said, our marriages and our families. We can go to His word with confidence, knowing that what He sets forth in His word is going to be reliable. It's going to work. Because the world doesn't have a real good success rate with marriage, does it? You know, if you want to go their route and see if it works, and maybe it will and maybe it won't, that's your choice. But we have a choice that we can go to God's word, let it speak to our hearts, and believe it with our whole heart, just like when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, He came through. He'll come through in this area too, if we'll be meek to what His word says. So, let's look at the husband and wife some. I'm going to share obviously more on the wife. Mark's going to share later on the Christian husband. So as I'm sharing things about the Christian wife, I'm not going to emphasize what the husband's responsibility is. Mark will get into that later, okay? So if it seems a little one-sided, it is, because I'm sharing on it from this perspective, okay? Let's go to the book of Genesis and take a look at the first husband and wife in God's word. God sets up some great things in the book of Genesis that apply even to us in this day and time. So go to the book of Genesis chapter 2, please. Actually, go to chapter 1 first. In verse 27 of chapter 1, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created Him them, He them." We know from John 4:24 that image that man was created in the beginning was spirit. That man was a three-part being in the beginning with body, soul, and spirit. That's important to note when we look at the rest of Genesis and when we get to the New Testament, to the born-again one. Marriage was designed for those that had a connection with God. In chapter 2 and down in verse 15. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Adam had a responsibility to take care of things in the garden. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air." And then he goes on in verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." God noticed that man was alone. God says in his word that he made man a helpmeet. And I've kind of heard that presented in a derogatory way, that she's to be a help to him. But the same word for help is used mainly in the scriptures about God being our help. It's the same word used most of the time, that he's our help, that he's our shield. That's what the wife is to be to the husband, a help. It's not a bad thing. Okay? Adam had a job to do. Eve was there to be his help in that situation. Look at Psalm 33:20. I'll show you one of the places it's used. Does that mean Adam never helped Eve? No, that isn't the point, okay? God looked at man and saw that he had a need to have a companion and to have a helper. Psalm 33 and down in verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Turn over to Psalm 115, please. Just we'll look at one more here. Down in verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. This help is a good thing, okay? We're in good company in being a help as wives, okay? Just set that record straight here. Go back to Genesis and we'll continue looking at the marriage. It's an honorable thing to be a help. It's a good thing. Let's see, we left off, we finished verse 23. In verse 24, we read, And Adam said, oh no, I'm sorry, verse 24, Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. What mother and father did Adam and Eve leave? They were the first ones, right? God has this in here for a reason. It's an important part of marriage that we're to leave, which is the word that's translated to loosen. We're to leave our earthly family. Not that we never speak to them again, but there's a breaking off and joining into a new family. And the word to cleave, one of the translators has it to glue together. You can't be glued together to something if you're still over here, you know. It's important to make that break from an earthly family to start a new family. And God's word sets out in the beginning that that we're to leave and to cleave unto one another. Nice rhyming words there. But it's an important part of a Christian marriage, of a godly marriage, is that you're willing to let the family that you once grew up in go, let the ones that were directing you at one point in time, the mom and dad that directed and showed you how to live your lives, and start something new. It's a vital part of it. Without letting go of that, you can never really build something new together. Mom and dad aren't to have the input they once had in your life. You know, the husband and wife are now to go together. The husband is to direct the way things should go, not the mom and dad. you know, running home to mom and dad for their advice concerning your marriage is not a wise thing to do. Go to God and go to your spouse and work things out. In verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. It's just a beautiful thing. They were walking honestly before God and with each other. You know, they cleaved unto each other to have a godly marriage. The wife was a help to her husband in caring for the things of the garden and caring for him. Genesis 3 continues on in telling us how wonderful Eve was in helping her husband. Some of you are laughing because you know what Genesis 3 contains. Genesis 3 contains a sad commentary on the kind of help a wife can be, where the fall of mankind results as part of Eve helping her husband so much. That's not the kind of help God had in mind, I don't think, when he created Eve. Do you? We're not going to read it. You can read it sometime if you want. But just make a note that it's amazing how we can so affect one another in our marriages, both good and bad. Proverbs talks about, I'm not going to read all these verses to you, but it talks about how a wife can be both good and bad. I'll just tell you a couple things it says. It declares that a quarrelsome wife can be like a continual dripping on a rainy day. Our Irish brethren can relate to this one. No, but that continual dripping on a rainy day, that a quarrelsome wife can be like that. That's not a good thing, okay? It says that she can be a crown to her husband or rottenness in his bones. Pretty descriptive. Pretty descriptive. And we've seen both examples of that in the world. It says that a foolish wife tears down her house with her own hands, but a wise woman builds her house. We want to look further at God's word to see how to be a wise woman that builds her house, that doesn't tear it down with her own hands. We want to be a crown to our husbands as wives, not rottenness in his bones or a continual dripping. Let's look at the Christian wife now. We've looked at some great examples. Actually, before we do that, let's go to Proverbs here. And then we'll go to the New Testament. There is no one closer to your spouse than you if you're married. And we can affect each other both positively and negatively. We want to do it in a godly way. So we look at God's word to see that we can conduct our lives according to his word so that we can be a crown, so that we can have a blessing in our marriage and in raising our families. Proverbs 31 sets forth a great example of a godly wife. We're not going to read the whole section on the wife, but I do want to mention it's been taught before. I've heard it taught where it's a list of things that a good wife should be, and that's not the heart of Proverbs 31. The end of the chapter closes with that she's a woman that reverences God, that fears the Lord. It's out of that heart that those things are qualities manifested in her life, out of a great reverence for God. But I do want to look at a few things that would be there if a woman is reverencing God, reverencing his word, to the end that she conducts her life in a godly fashion in her marriage, because it's put very succinctly. In Proverbs 31 and verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." How many men can say that about their wives in the world? You know, that's the way a godly wife is to be, that her husband's heart can safely trust in her. She's not going to hurt him. She's not going to speak evil of him. She's not going to share what his heart has shared with her, with the world, with her girlfriends. Verse 12, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Wow, that's something to live up to. You know, in that close relationship, we bring out the best and the worst in each other sometimes. Sometimes we see the worst of each other, but the Word of God declares that we're not to recompense evil for evil in our marriage, that she'll do him good all the days of her life and not evil. That's a calling to live up to, isn't it? And in verse 13, go down to verse 25. There's more listed in there. It talks about all the things that she weaves, wool and all this stuff. That may not specifically apply to us, but the heart of it does. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. How many men would die to have a wife that's like that concerning him? That the words are kind, that they're edifying, that they're loving. She opens her mouth and it isn't a bunch of negatives and quarrelsomeness like we read about in Proverbs, but it's those words. She's a woman that speaks with wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, folks. It doesn't come from reading books. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Being a good wife and mother has been so degraded in the world. It's a calling to live up to. It's something we can be proud of as women, that we take care of our husbands, that we take care of our homes, that we take care that we're raising our children according to the word. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now let's look at the Christian wife in the New Testament. Turn to the book of Ephesians, please. I don't know about you, but when I read those truths about what a wife can be, I want to know how to do that. I want to be one of those. Ephesians gives us a little bit more specifics about being a Christian wife. I want to mention that before you ever get to the book of Ephesians, Romans has been set forth for the believer. In Romans, the believer knows, he sees his individual need for a Savior and the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. It explains how a man can believe on that Savior, Jesus Christ, and become a new creation in Christ. Then we get to the book of Ephesians, where it continues in teaching that same man that he's part of something greater, that all who have believed on that Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, that he's part of that, that he's part of that family, which is now called the body of Christ. The first three chapters of Ephesians sets forth the doctrine of right believing regarding these truths. So by the time we get to Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, I just want you to understand those truths in Romans and those truths in Ephesians ideally are being believed before a woman ever enters into marriage. She's confident of who she is in Christ. She knows how to operate the nine manifestations and walk by the Spirit. She's settled in her heart that she's complete in Christ. Her identification is in what he's done for her. And then we get to the practical side of Ephesians. Otherwise, the practical side of Ephesians simply becomes behavior modification. And that's what a lot of the Christianity does. They look at the outward and say, you need to be kind, you need to not lie, you need to not steal, you need to submit, you need to be the head. But if the truths of Romans and Ephesians are not believed, it's just an outward showing of those actions. See, when I am confident of who I am as a woman, that of what God has made me to be, when I'm walking by his Spirit, and I believe in all that Jesus Christ wrought for me, then I come to Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6, and I want to live my life for him. I want to be subject to what the Word says and do it from the heart. You understand? So keep that in mind as we go through the practical side here of what a wife is. It ties in with that doctrinal side of how wonderful God has made us to be, okay? In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 22 is the first reference to a wife. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives are to submit to their husbands. This word submit has kind of gotten a bad rap in the world, I think. Tom mentioned one time that in one translation, I think it's the Phillips, it's translated as adapt. And that's okay. I think it's even bigger. I think submit is a good word. It's how it's been twisted and used in the world, that it's like the word fear. You know, it was kind of had a bad connotation. It's a question of what you're submitting unto, whether or not it's good or bad. The word isn't telling us to submit to Hitler and his ways. Okay? It's talking about submitting to a man who loves and reverences God, who believes who he is in Christ and is walking in the new nature. That's who it's addressed to, okay? So keep that in mind. This isn't like this horrible, you know, ogre that we're supposed to be submitting to. It's to a wonderful man that loves God. In chapter 1 of verse of Ephesians, this word submit is used first in verse 22. It says, and hath put, speaking of Jesus Christ and God, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The words hath put, or in the NIV it's placed, are the same word for submit. The order that God set up in the body of Christ is that he put all things under Christ's feet and that he was to be the head of the body. Well, God's order for the Christian marriage is that the husband is to be the head and the wife is to submit to him, just like we submit to Christ in the body of Christ. It's not a new thing in the Christian life. We've already been doing it in the body. In fact, back in chapter 5 in verse 21, this is addressed to all believers. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Or in most of the texts in the old manuscripts, that word God is the word Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another. We're already doing it in the body of Christ, submitting one to another. It's not a hard thing. You guys submitted to a lot of things this morning. You sang the songs that Ken picked. You listened to the manifestations of the people that he called on to manifest. You submitted yourself to the choir songs. I mean, it's not like this horrible, hard thing to do. It's something we do all the time. Someone's in charge and we follow along. In a Christian marriage, the godly order that God has set up is that the husband is to be the head and the wife is to submit. What qualifies the husband to be the head is the Spirit of God, not his five senses abilities. We don't wait to see a man walking perfectly before we submit to them. That's not what the word's talking about. What qualifies him to be the head is that God says he's to be the head, and he has the Spirit of God, and he's his son, and he's the head. You know, just like as Mark will get into, you don't wait to love your wife when she's always lovable. Because, you know, you know yourself better than anyone. Are you always lovable? Do you always walk by the Spirit? No. No, see. So that's what qualifies the husband. Down in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The church being subject to Christ is the example used for how the wife is to be subject to her husband. I'm not going to read all these next verses because I have a feeling Mark's going to. But I'd like to go down to verse 31. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. We've read that somewhere, haven't we? And shall be joined. It's that same word, cleave, unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This word for reverence is the same word used back in verse 21, where it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or reverence of God. Christ is the head of the church, and we are to reverence him. The husband is the head of the wife, and as a wife, we are to reverence our husbands. The wife is to make a conscious decision to esteem her husband according to the word, to see him as God's made him to be. And in particular, we do that with all believers. We're to esteem each other highly, right? We're supposed to see each other, not by our flesh, but as what God has made us to be in Christ. And here's a specific category now. As a wife, we're to reverence, we're to see our husbands as the head, because that's how God set it up. It's important that that happens. It's a conscious decision that we make to esteem them that way, you know. God has made this man to be the head of a marriage and to hold him in proper reverence because of that. Maybe if more wives did this, more husbands would rise up to be the head that God wants them to be in their marriages. I think of it many times as, you know, you're their greatest fan. in one sense. Not because of their, like I said, their five senses abilities, but you trust God. You know what he's put in that man's life. You know the ministry in the body that he's supposed to play. And we get to help each other do that. It's easy to reverence what God's done, right? And we're to do that specifically in a marriage. The world laughs at that. But there again, it's not a surprise. They laugh at a lot of things about the things of God. Proverbs chapter 3 again, please. There is more I could share on it. That's the basic truth of God's word concerning a Christian wife. Once again, we're splitting up the time, so I'm going to cut it off here in a minute. But it really is a matter of trusting God when it comes to our marriages, that he really does love and care us enough and know what he's talking about. You know, we can do what Proverbs 3 says back in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct our paths. Let's acknowledge God in all our ways, in our marriages, and see him bless our lives as a result. Thank you.
Before Mark Luden teaches our second half, let's sing another song, number 77. This world is not my home, which I picked before I knew the subject this morning, so I guess it's a little funny, but this world is not. Let's stand to sing. What do you say? Come on. Warm ourselves up. This world is not my home. Deep breath. This give yourself a hand.
Have a seat. God bless you in the wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, Kathy Burke doesn't just teach those words, she lives them. And as someone who has poured their soul out before that lady and seen her just minister the absolute love of God with the Word of God, I can attest that although those words may have been spoken sweetly and softly, there's some tremendous power in them because they're God's words. And it's no wonder, if you have eyes to see, why we have such a wonderful ministry here is the tremendous help she is to Tom. And speaking of Tom, I'd like to thank him for allowing me to share God's Word this morning. And I'm probably sharing it because I'm probably chief among knuckleheads. But honestly, we're all a bunch of knuckleheads. And what a bunch of strange knuckleheads we are sitting here. Because that's what it says in Romans. And next weekend, I dare say that if you attend the Dan God's Word on sin, grace, and newness of life, we'll learn and you'll see from God's Word that really not a one of us, when we were body and soul men or women, had anything to stand upon until we were able to receive and accept what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And so a lot of what we're going to talk about this morning is really comes from that basis, as you heard Kathy talking about it. I mean, what a strange group of people we are, a couple hundred folks this morning, I imagine, who love God, who believe there is a God, who believe there's a God other than ourselves, who want to love Him with our whole hearts, mind, soul, and strength, who have a Lord and want to submit ourselves to Him. What a strange thing that is for the world. And you guys, we got to wake up. You have to wake up. Do you not realize what the adversary is trying to do to us men in ripping the great privilege we have of loving our wives as Christ loved the church? Can't say it any plainer. In Acts 17:11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so," talking about when the Apostle Paul had gone to Berea, Thessalonica first, then they went to Berea and preached Christ unto him. And the people received the word and then they searched the scriptures themselves to see whether those things were true. And we sometimes don't quote the first part of verse 12 where it says, "Therefore many believed." And I think what you probably can do this morning is just set your Bibles to the side, because I'm going to give you all the verses. You can write them down. And I would encourage you that if you want to make this part of your life, you're going to have to go to the Word and see it yourself. I mean, look at the wonderful teachings that we've had recently here. Tom teaching about the temple that we are, God's dwelling place, and how we can either build it up or destroy it. Teaching about growing. Growing being a conscious effort to change, to be more Christ-like. Wayne's teaching on, you know, body, soul, and spirit. How easy it is to forget, isn't it, that we have Spirit of God sometimes? You live in the world and you just kind of, you can get dull. You can forget that we live by a different standard. And not only do we live by a different standard, we are different. It's not behavior modification, as Kathy said. It's being modification. We have been changed to new men and women. But unless we do what Wayne's talking about, unless we walk in that, we'll just be the same old schlocks that the world is and get the same old type of results. And that doesn't glorify our Heavenly Father, does it? And certainly, you know, as a secondary part of that, doesn't bless our lives. And then Alfred, our dear brother, I don't think he's here this morning, last week taught on the spiritual battle that we're part of. You know, you could look in Romans chapter 13 later on if you want. Talking about verse 11, where it says, "And that knowing the time that is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." And that was true then, and it's true now, right? We're a day closer to the Lord Jesus Christ come back. This world is not our home. In Ephesians chapter 5, Kathy left me like two verses. Two verses. But boy, can I talk. No. While she was teaching, I'm going there. Oh, darn, I guess I'd have those verses. Just teasing. I guess you can open your Bibles for this one, all right? But the rest you're going to have to write down and study yourselves. In Ephesians chapter 5, and I took my handy-dandy Bible, copied it, laminated it so I can wander around. I hope you don't mind. I'm not going to stop, so I just hope it doesn't offend you. Ephesians chapter 5, and Kathy couldn't have said it better, that Ephesians chapter 5 is in the context of the church epistles. Verse 1, I'll read it from the King James. Verse 22 of Ephesians 5. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, even as, right? That's the standard or the I'm missing the adjective. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he, Christ, is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject, as is naturally supplied, to their own husbands in everything. The example is just submitting to Christ. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. That's husbands plural, wives plural, one wife per husband. Even as Christ also loved the church, even as the standard for how a husband is to love his wife is how Christ loved the church. The standard of how the husband is the head of the wife is how Christ is head of the church. Even verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he, Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We are to love our wife how Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? He gave himself for it. Did Christ just love the church, us, because we were so wonderful? Did Christ love the church because of what the church had done? No. He loved because God loved. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man, verse 29, ever yet hateth his flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as, again the example, the Lord loves the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause shall a man, verse 31, leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. See, the reason a man loves his wife as his own body, or the context that's in, it's not you love your wife as your own self, meaning, okay, well, if I'm tired, I need to get rest, or if I'm hungry, I need to get food, and I would never do anything to myself, you know, so therefore I'll take care of my wife like that. That's not the standard. The standard we're talking about is a man loves his wife as his own body. The example is the way Christ loved the church because that was his body. Does that make sense? You see, it's much bigger. It's got very little to do. It's got nothing to do with our own standard. It's got everything to do with our example of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Verse 32, this is a great mystery. Not the great mystery, a great mystery. The fact that a man can so love his wife as Christ loved the church, and the fact that a woman can submit, the wife can submit to the husband just like she, as if the way she submits, the church submits to our Lord as the head of the church. That is a great mystery. Verse 32 says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And you know what jumps out to me is when you see a Christian man and a Christian wife, you know what we're to see? The Lord Jesus Christ and the church. Not each other. We're to see the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. In other words, we're to see a man who so loves his wife that he gives himself for her because she is him. Because they're one body. And we're to see a woman who submits herself to her husband as if he were her Lord because he is the head. That's what we're to see. And isn't that what the world needs to see? Isn't that our great privilege as a husband to so love our wife so that the world can see Jesus Christ and his care for us as his church? And then it follows up with verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you, going back to the point at hand, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, not the standard as even as my I love myself because I'm, you know, I exercise or I eat right. I love myself as my own body with the example being as how our Lord loved his own body, the church. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, you can just write it down. God tells us that there is a God of this world, right? He's the devil. And in Revelation 12, verse 9, chapter 20, verse 3, chapter 20, verse 8, chapter 20, verse 10, it talks about that the devil deceives the world. You know, perhaps there's nothing wrong with the books on Christian marriages or the discussions and things like that. I'm not going to sit here and judge all that stuff. But you may want to consider, if that's where you're looking at men for how a Christian marriage should be or how a husband should be, off the cover of Cosmopolitan or Ladies' Home Journal or something, that it might have some deception in it. No matter how good, nice-sounding that person may be, it's God's Word, and only God's Word, that's going to give us the truth. And anything else you look at has to be judged from the criteria of God's Word, not whether it sounds good or feels good or might fit the situation. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, which precedes chapter 5, by the way, God tells all of us that we're to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. They're great, sweet verses, aren't they? Husbands and wives, but husbands. That's how you love your wife. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, it continues in chapter 5. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Again, Christ is the example of our love. 1 Corinthians, right? Chapter 13, not a laundry list of behavior modification, but this is the attributes of the love of God. Charity of the love of God suffers long. It's kind. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doesn't behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not evilly provoked, thinketh no evil. See, a Christian marriage, again, I'm chief among knuckleheads, so if it seems like I'm preaching to you, I am, but I'm speaking from personal knowledge about how wonderful God is and how wonderful this new creation we have. See, if those verses, honestly, if you look at those verses as a man and you say, you know what, I'm not there. Well, praise God. Praise God. Better to look at the standard of God's Word and humbly in your heart and think, you know what, I'm PO'd at my wife. Or, you know what, I'm not patient with her. Or, I'm kinder to everyone else but my wife. Praise God. At least then you can start somewhere. At least then you can go to God and say, help me. Help me be who I am in Christ. A Christian marriage, a Christian husband, is a husband with Christ in him. A Christian wife is a wife with Christ in her. But as Wayne so wonderfully taught, we have two natures. Right? So that Christian husband, of which I am one, can either be manifest that Spirit of God and that new nature, that embodiment of Jesus Christ in my wife, or I can be the world's biggest knucklehead. What I need to do to glorify God is to be Christ-like, is to change. Absolutely independent of anything my wife does or doesn't do. Being a Christian husband has absolutely nothing to do with your wife. Yeah, but it'd be so much easier if she was perfect. Yeah, and it'd be easier for her if you were perfect. But wake up. You're going to blame her your whole life, or are you going to become Christ-like? Whether subtly or simply. I had a wonderful friend of mine ask me, talking about things of the heart, and asked me, because his wife was perhaps not a perfect help in some areas, and it was getting to him, which is a human response, right? And he wondered whether or not he could just so kind of keep himself under so that he wouldn't, you know, not be loving or kind to her. You know, kind of he wanted the encouragement that, you know, just you know, I'm getting better. Help me. I just need somebody to say, attaboy, which sometimes we do for each other, right? And I looked at him and said, no, I don't think you can. I don't think it's possible. Because what you need to do is change. You can't keep your flesh under. You have to put your flesh off and put on the new man. What's it say in Romans chapter 2? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And ladies, 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 what a wonderful teaching Kathy gave. And there's a tape Barb would know. I don't ever remember these things. It might have been 5 years ago. It could have been last week for the way my mind works. Well, I know who taught last week, right? But Kathy once taught about, in Galatians, about restoring when people fall, when people are overcome, and restoring them in the spirit of meekness. Anybody ever remember that teaching? That was the absolute best teaching on that subject I personally have ever heard. And ladies, you know your husbands. You know they're knuckleheads because you know what God's Word says. But if they decide to change, for the love of God, give them a break. Give them a break. This is a true story. I once, when I was a younger man, when I was much younger, was out there speaking God's Word, a couple of us, and there was a husband, so this is kind of different, but the point will be the same. There was a husband pushing a wife in a wheelchair, and one of my partners in speaking God's Word was speaking God's Word to him, and actually took the woman by the hand, and she stood up, which was... It wasn't like he was pushing her in the wheelchair because she was tired. She stood up, started to walk. That husband behind her freaked out, grabbed her by the shoulders and pushed her right back down and wheeled her away. True story. Oh, my gosh. That woman had a chance to be delivered by the power of God, and her husband, it freaked him out, pushed her right back down. Ladies, don't do that to your husbands. Some of us need to become more Christ-like. Some of us need to manifest some of these things. Everyone's got bad habits in their life if they don't put on Christ, right? As your husband changes, encourage him. That's when you can be a help for him. And the same with husbands. If you want your wife to change, forget about it. Love her as Christ loved the church. Love her as Christ loved the church, for only one reason, because it glorifies God. Here's a question for you guys. How'd you like this question? Will you love your wife as Christ loved the church, even if she never changes from where she is now? Even if she never grows one bit, will you still love her as Christ loved the church? And will you still endeavor to love her more and more and become more Christ-like yourself and love her more and more? If you can't answer yes to that question, praise God also. Because then there's transformation available. But the answer to that question is yes. Yes. How does our Lord love us? How did He love us? How does our Father love us? Luke 6:32 says, "For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love them, love those that love them." That's not the love of God. Oh, honey, you were so wonderful to me this week. I'll be kind and gracious to you. That's not the love of God. I feel like a talk show guy with the cards flipping around. Just thought it'd be easier. Thought it would bless you. Thought it'd be something different. Luke 17, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Jesus Christ talking says, "If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day." Boy, I tell this verse to my boys all the time. What about the 8th time, Dad? It's a figure of speech. "And 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." So your wife does things that drive you up a tree continually. So you forgive her. You know what the answer the apostle said in verse 15? And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That's a, oh, Lord, help me. That's the starting place, guys. Become more Christ-like. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, 4, and 5, it talks about, I'll read in the NIV. Verse 3 says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? But you know, my dang wife just doesn't do this. My dang wife just doesn't do that. My wife's kind of a hypocrite. You know, that's the, that in the King James, they call that mote and beam, which, you know, what's a mote and a beam? But I understand the difference between a speck of sawdust and a plank. Verse 4 says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? How can you say to your wife, you know, if you'll just do this when there's a plank in your eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. See, I'm tempted to say, guys, if you want your wife to be a better Christian wife, then love her as Christ loved the church. But that's not true. It may be true in effect, but the point is, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Regardless or irregardless, I think the way you're supposed to say it is regardless. Everyone and me and my brother, we use irregardless. It doesn't matter. Christ loved us because God so loved. And he gave himself for us as his own body. Not because anything we did, right? Did we earn it? Guys, you can't make your wife earn your love, whether subtly or openly. You got to examine your own heart. You got to search the scriptures daily and let that new nature we have transform you. It's not a question of don't say stupid things to your wife, which is probably a good thing not to do. It's a question of become more Christ-like. You know, Kathy taught all my verses, every verse. Remember Proverbs 31? Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Yeah, but that's what I want in a woman. Isn't that what the world tells me I gotta have? But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Guys, who cares what your wife looks like or how she behaves? If she fears God, if she loves God, how thankful we should be. That's the beauty, isn't it? Isn't that what you want to bring out and encourage in your spouse? And if she doesn't, then get on our butt about not eating this or not doing that or cleaning that. No! Then make up your mind and pray to God and ask for the help and the wisdom to help her be a woman who fears God. Why do you think the world's so caught up in all the other stuff? Because it's got nothing to do with the point at hand, which is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and helping your wife do the same. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, 25 through verse 8 of chapter 3, in verse 3 of 1 Peter, it talks about your adorning of the woman. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God great price. The point being, the exhortation, the direction to the wives was, look, it's not your outward appearance that's going to win your husband, but it's that hidden man of the heart. It's that ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That's a great price. That's what you're to adorn yourself with. It's not getting yourself all dolled up. There's an old word, isn't it? Looking like, that's not what will change your husband. And so husbands, that's not what you want out of your wife. Well, but it is. Well, then change your mind. And if you've got a wonderful woman who loves God, that's what's important, and that's what you need to encourage, and that's what you need to praise. And never let something else slip out of your mouth. And if she's not all that, well, then look in the mirror. Because we got sin, grace, and, but we have newness of life. You know, it reminds me of that old song, put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. Put another log on the fire. Honey, tell me why you're leaving me. Why do you think your wife might be... What? Hey, was that good enough? To be in the... What? Some help you are. She's offered me private lessons. And unfortunately, I don't have the budget for it. I'd take her up on it. Guys, what do you want out of your wife? That's an honest question to ask yourself, isn't it? I mean, you can go home and watch football this afternoon, or you can mourn from last night, thinking about reading Casey at the Bat for all you Buckeye fans. But what do you want out of your wife? We should want what the Word says is a great, precious price from our wives, and we should help them achieve that. Now, look at that. We're all going to finish on time. I thought we were going to need sack lunches with everything on the program today. Go to Colossians, if you would. Let's read. I'll read, you listen, but you can read along. Let's read Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 19, if we can. Get it in the big Bible here. You know, Colossians and Ephesians are both work together, right? Ephesians is the doctrine. Philippians is the reproof. In other words, if you're practicing doctrine wrong. And Colossians corrects you, brings you back to what the doctrine is. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if or since you then be risen with Christ, are we? Well, that's a question you gotta really make that one up in your heart and mind. Is this world our home or not? What's most important to you guys? This life or the one to come? These aren't easy questions, guys. Oh, yeah, okay. These are things you really have to... If you want change in your marriage, or if you want a better marriage, or if you're just blessed in your marriage and you want to make sure it stays that way, I'm not putting fire in you here, but it takes work to think about these things. You know, if you're like me, you're so dang busy, you catch yourself coming and going. What's Steve Sarris telling me? So busy he's catching up with himself or something silly like that. You got to take some time to ponder these scriptures. You have to take some time alone with the Father to really let this stuff dwell and saturate in your heart, or you won't change. Better off to take some time in God's Word and be left alone and ponder and pray and ask God to open the eyes of your understanding and give you wisdom than to hang out with believers and never, ever put on the new man. I guess you can, but I'm sure we can do both. I'm not saying don't hang out with believers. Since you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's talk about what that verse means for a minute. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's just right there. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, blow to smithereens, somebody once said. I don't know if that's true, but mortify. Put to death, my center reference says. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime. You also walked sometime when you lived in them, right? We were all knuckleheads once. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You can turn around as I'm walking back there. Maybe give you a chance to think about something, that this is a change perhaps. And have put on the new man. Put off the old, put on the new. Want to love your wife? Want to be a Christian husband? Then you got to be Christ-like. Well, that's hard. No, thank God it's not. It may take effort. The work's been done, guys. Some of us needed to learn to quit struggling so hard, quit trying to do and be. Your wife doesn't need you to do more things for her, although she may like that. What she needs you to is to be Christ for her. Man. And that's possible. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It's not changing your behavior so that you do this. It's like what Wayne taught us. It's walking in the new man, which that Spirit of God is this, so to speak. Meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. That includes your wife. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so you do also. And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. That's what binds everything together. And let the peace of God rule in the hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Guys, how thankful we should be that we have a wife who loves God and is born again. Oh, man. And you know, some of you guys, some of you young men here, or perhaps older men, unmarried men, who would like to get married, desire to get married, that's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing to have a help and a companion. Praise God for that desire. But I know sometimes us men, we got in our mind, well, I'd like a woman who's about 5'4". I'd like brunette hair, maybe slender, likes horses, not big on cooking, so she doesn't need to cook much. If she can be someplace in the cold country, that'd be even better. And you know, if I could just find a woman like that, Lord, I could love that one. And we get that in our minds, what kind of woman we'd like, right? Oh no, never me. I'm just spiritual. Okay. But you may want to think about guys, men, who are desiring a wife, of asking God to give you a woman who needs to be loved, who wants to be loved as Christ loved the church. Dear Lord, God, give me a woman that wants to be loved like Christ loved the church. Not, give me a woman that will submit. Give me a woman I can love how your son loved me. And you wives, and you women who are looking for get married, what about asking the Father for a man you can help to be his best? I bet you God answers that prayer. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in the hearts of which are also going in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then to sum up the teaching that Kathy and I had the privilege to share, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And that's what we shared this morning, isn't it? But without Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 17, it's just behavior modification. But praise God, we have Christ in us, and we have the ability to love as Christ loved the church, and we have the ability to be a great helpmeet. So thanks, Tom, for allowing me to share. Guys, I encourage you to go to God's Word yourself and make these verses your own. Thanks.